So I saw the Harriet movie last night, and I gotta say, didn't like it. I mean, if I wanted to see that much cheesiness spread across 3 hours of my time, I would have gotten a bagel, okay? Now, the biggest problem with the film, no one wants to say this, but she's not a good actress. Cynthia Erivo, she's a lousy actress. She's a bore. And she probably is going to win like some kind of Oscar because she's a black woman and therefore, of course, very strong. But her acting is not.
Whoa. Easy now.
I'm going to be free or die.
I don't know if you know how extraordinary this is, but you have made it 100 miles to freedom all by yourself. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom?
Harriet Tubman.
So Harriet Tubman was a remarkable woman, but the other big problem with the film is that it's supposed to be about the Underground Railroad, all right? So when you say railroad, there's supposed to be a locomotive. I mean, I thought I was going to see trains, and all I saw was this indignant woman pointing her rifle in people's faces. And of course, we love the Second Amendment, but we also want to see choo-choo trains. So the Underground Railroad, there was no train involved? Can we confirm that? I thought Harriet Tubman built a train. I mean, she calls herself a conductor. That's why it's called a railroad. So then why is she in the history books? She needs to learn a thing or two from John D. Rockefeller, because let me tell you, running across a field is not a railroad. So the whole premise of the story is that there's this woman, her name is Minty. And Minty eventually changes her name to Harriet, but she originally goes by Minty. And her whole thing is that she hates being a slave. And can you blame her? Obviously. I mean, she doesn't like being owned by another person.
What? Really?
Oh, no. I don't love being owned by another human being.
Just a little song I wrote. And so Harriet Tubman says, I've had enough of you and you and you. And fortunately, she was super close with God, like a surreal relationship with God. And that was probably the best part of the story. And so God was like, girl, let's do this. And so he helped her escape to Pennsylvania. And most people, when they got up to Pennsylvania and they were free, they'd be like, cool, I'm free. But she was like, no, I got to go and get my brothers and sisters and my husband and free them too. And eventually frees 300 other slaves. And then it's an emotional wreck when her husband ditches her. And that was the part for me in the part of the movie where I actually did get emotional, because she goes back, starts to lead the Underground Railroad, and then her husband ends up with another woman. However, the film is rife with these stereotypes. You know, you had the strong black female lead, then you had this racist white male spoiled brat, and then you had the quote unquote Uncle Tom, you know, they love that term, who's loyal to Massa. And then he gets shot because Massa never cared about him. And, you know, that's how they say black people who suck up to the white man, that's what they get. And there's no historical record that ever happened, by the way. And then there was the music. Oh, my good, the music. Excuse me, but I would actually like to hear what the characters are saying. Is that so much to ask? And there were moments that were moving, but then you couldn't hear them because of the music, because of the score, the violins. And so, like I said, she comes back to her husband and he's married to another woman. But the acting is so bad that you're like, well, maybe you deserved it. Also, a fun piece of trivia is that the slave owner, the person who plays the slave owner in the movie, is Taylor Swift's current boyfriend. Oh, Taylor Swift, you are married, or you're dating a slave owner. I thought you were so woke. Well, you're dating a slave owner. How woke is that? Not very. And that's why it had an IMD score of 6.1 out of 10. Not very good. Not very good. Not a very good movie. Better luck next time on the Frederick Douglass movie. Joining me now is Victor Dweck. He has a brand new show, host of Dweck on Blaze TV. Victor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, John, for having me. I'm a big fan of your show, mainly because it's free.
It's free, yeah. Well, we give up the goods for free. And you're here with a genuine African-American male.
Yes.
How does that feel?
Well, do you always refer to yourself as a genuine African-American
genuine,
male?
Yeah, not genuine, but genuine.
Like the rap artist.
Yes, exactly.
I'm thrilled to be here. Also, you mentioned that Harriet Tubman in the movie, Harriet, they played a lot of music.
Yeah.
Now, I think, I had a distant relative. He can never get anything right. Actually went down to Underground Railroad to kill himself.
No,
actually, it didn't work out. But I wanted to mention, it wasn't an actual railroad, but I wanted to mention to you, I think one of the reasons why they had the violins was back in the day, those who went on the Underground Railroad, they would play music.
They would play music?
Yeah, as they were leaving.
Yeah. As they were getting on the choo-choo train, they just play the violins. it's not, why do they call it a railroad if it's not a train? I don't get it.
Well, she was good at branding.
Yeah.
And I think she was thinking one step ahead. She was an entrepreneur. And I think, John, what she was thinking, Harriet, was, hey, listen, if this doesn't work out, maybe people will think I actually started a railroad.
Now, are you a historian?
I'm not.
Okay.
So
how much do you know about Harriet Tubman?
I know enough to ask you a question.
Okay.
Actually, I was reading on Wikipedia that I was curious, I'm actually curious if they kept this in the movie. You mentioned she had premonitions about God.
Yeah.
Actually, in Wikipedia, it says that the reason she had these is because she was hit over the head and she was beaten so bad, and that's why they started. That's actually curious. Did they mention that?
They mentioned that, and they actually said, oh, she's a mad woman.
Oh,
she's a mad woman. But she did, I mean, to be serious, completely serious for a second, I mean, you can't do that without God's help. I mean, what she actually accomplished was an act of God.
Well, I mean, I could have done it.
But you had to be hit over the head. You could have been hit over the head
first. I'm going to say it here. I want everyone to know that I'm saying I could have done it. And you said they didn't have good acting. I think
the
acting done well
horrible.
In the movie as well.
Was Morgan Freeman in the movie, or did I make that up? Okay, he wasn't in the movie. I thought he was. I thought I saw him for a second. But, you know, all you need to know about Harriet Tubman is that she went up, and then she went down, and then she went back up, and then she went back down again. So that's, it's crazy that entertainment has gotten so bad and that it's lauded as this. I guarantee this movie is going to be lauded as this premier work of genius. And particularly in entertainment, you cannot be a conservative, and you are a conservative comedian. And that is very taboo. That is very taboo, and it's almost a career ruiner.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up. I don't like to really consider myself or classify myself as a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I right now identify more as a conservative, basically because of where both parties are going. I think the left, even the left of center now, is becoming more and more radical. But I'm careful to say I'm a conservative or this, because tomorrow, who knows what that might mean. So I'm not loyal to any one particular party, but simply by creating entertainment that is comedic and political and doesn't bash the right, by definition, I'm almost conservative.
Right, because all comedy has become is bashing Trump. I mean, every single late night comedian just thinks that they're being funny by bashing the president. And that's not comedy. That's political activism.
It's true. And I think one of the things that's said is there really is a lot of fun to be had with poking fun at the president. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
Donald Trump is ripe for amazing humor. I mean, he is really giving these guys a gift. But because it comes from a place of hate.
Yes.
It doesn't work. If you look back to some of the great impressionists, Will Ferrell doing George Bush, Dana Carvey doing Bush, Daryl Hammond doing Clinton, they loved their characters.
Right.
You look at Alec Baldwin doing Trump. I mean, this guy hates Trump.
Right.
And it's an angry impression. And it comes through. And it's very sad. And that's why I just watched this show.
Well, I appreciate that. So what kind of sketches do you do?
We create socio-political comedy. So it's comedy that satirizes culture right now. And we particularly do it, it's done in a very meticulous, careful way. We do it in a way that both sides can enjoy. So if you're on the right, you can enjoy our humor. And if you're on the left, you can enjoy it. And we
do you have
that.
Leftist fans, by the way?
Yes. My entire cast is liberal.
Oh, really?
Every single person on my cast, with the exception of Tom and my... No, my parents are not. But with the exception of Tom, my partner, who's conservative, every person on the cast is a liberal. Some are even...
Communist?
Radical. Yeah. There's Matt, who's in Ice Pick, who's become a great friend of mine. They is radical transgender. And
really? That's fascinating.
I'm careful to say they.
Yeah, it's they.
Z-E-Y-Z. Yeah. And they love the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
It's done in a good way because I think as a country, even though this network leans right and all that, and I do as well, but I think that the country needs to come together around some of these things.
Right. It used to be there's nothing wrong with being a conservative, you know, and you can watch conservative comedy or you can watch people who have views that are different from yours and still enjoy their content. And we've gotten to a point in this country where for whatever reason, that's not the case. And I think that your show has the potential to fill that void. So we're going to throw to a few clips, but it's going to be exclusive for the subscribers of the podcast. So that's all we have time for Facebook and YouTube, those who are watching live on those platforms. So if you'd like to hear more, please download the podcast on Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast, or subscribe to Blaze TV to see the rest of the interview and to see this guy's content, Victor Dweck. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you there. All right, so I'm here with Victor Dweck. He's doing sketch comedy for Blaze TV, and he has a few sketches that I want to show you guys that are exclusive to the podcast version of this program and the version on Blaze TV. And one of those sketches is the Civil War, which is appropriate because we've been talking about Harriet Tubman and that awful movie. And so here is one of his sketches, or at least a part of it. Let's watch.
They postponed the Civil War reenactment. No one wants to play the Confederates, whole political correctness.
I got it. I know some guys, Civil War buffs. I mean, these guys are Civil War kooks. They love it. They even love slavery, these guys. That's how into it they are. Give me an hour. Hammond. Remember, boys, we're fighting for the honor of the old South. These gentlemen want to take your slaves away.
Tom, what the hell is this? These are your Civil War buffs?
Yeah, aren't they great? Look at the necks on these guys.
This don't look like Confederate soldiers.
You give me an hour to do the impossible, now you complain.
Where'd you even find these guys?
It's great. I was walking uptown. They approached me, a little scary, and they said, do you have any work for me? And I said, well, I'll find you something. And they said, we don't have any papers. Do you want us to go? And I said, no, it's perfect. We don't have insurance. So here they are.
So how do you come up with these sketches?
A lot of coke. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't know. I didn't do any drugs. Bullshit. No, I'm kidding. So...
This is show business, all right?
Yeah. This is show business. It's a good thing they can't see what's in the cup. By the way, can I get this? Where can we get this?
You can get the White House brief. Okay, I always get this wrong. I say it's shop.com, but that's totally not right. shop.blazemedia.com/Miller. shop.blazemedia.com/Miller. That's where you can get these beautiful mugs. Cheers.
Cheers. And there's no brick and mortar location
no,
yet.
No.
Okay, all right.
We're working on that.
So the way that we attack this batch of sketches for the Blaze is we looked at overarching issues in politics and culture. And because they were done in advance, we needed them to be sort of evergreen. So as opposed to doing something like SNL, where we can make fun of something that's very current for that week, we had to choose something that could go. So one of the the issues is the Confederate flag situation, where people were tearing down statues and
taking it.
And so we said, all these people make it like they care so much, but do the minorities really care that much? Or is it just white people, privileged people, being outraged?
Liberals, to be honest.
Yeah, white liberals being outraged for them. So we said, let's do something with that, and let's create a sketch where no one wants to play the Confederates in a Civil War reenactment, but the only people willing to do it are the people who should be outraged. And then it also pokes fun at the fact that sometimes the illegal aliens are the ones willing to do the jobs that no one else actually wants to do. And so it touches on that as well.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why I'm a comedian and you do the explanations of things. Yeah. Just leave the sketch to me.
Well, it's the same thing with blackface, right? No one is
which
actually,
you're wearing, right?
This is right now. I'm a white liberal.
Yeah.
And I've just got a blackface painted right. on. But no one's actually outraged by blackface. You know, it's obviously not something that you should encourage to do at a party, but no one's actually saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm so offended." I guarantee you there's no black people who are like, "That is outrageous. That is horrible. I can't believe that you did that." So it's completely manufactured outrage.
I mean, to this day, Al Jolson is, I think, put out one of the best pop albums of the 20th century, yeah. if you ask me.
Yeah. And Ralph Northam.
Can we cut to a clip?
is still in office. Ralph Northam's still in office. However, Megyn Kelly lost her job because she mentioned, for Halloween, I don't see how bad it is. And then today, did you see the Don Jr. interview? On The View?
I didn't see it. I was preparing for this.
So Joy Behar, who,
by the way, I just want to throw out there, all the people that bash Megyn Kelly for doing that wouldn't complain about sleeping with her. Cut that, Beth. Right. Yeah.
But so Joy Behar, who has been seen in blackface, she wore a Halloween costume in blackface.
Yeah.
Don Jr. called her out on it. And she said, "No, I never wore blackface." And then Whoopi Goldberg said, "No, I'm black, and I can call out blackface when I see it." And it's like, Whoopi Goldberg, do your eyes work better than ours?
Who has blonde hair?
Right.
So she could put on fake hair.
They look a little bit like tapeworms, you know?
Yeah, she could have tape. She could put on fake tapeworm blonde hair, but yeah. I can't if I'm feeling
right.
Particularly Negro one day. I can't put on blackface.
Yeah, so she can put on fake blonde hair.
Have you seen Ariana Grande? Have you seen herself tan? Have you seen her tan?
No.
She used to be pale as me.
Yeah, and now what is she, like my color?
Yeah, she's like Whoopi Goldberg.
So another hot button issue is the trans issue. And you mentioned earlier that you have a transgender person on your staff.
Yeah.
And then you did this sketch mocking transgenders. Let's watch.
Holy look at the basket on her.
Someone needs to talk about the elephant in the pants.
I think I may need a wide lens.
Mr. Papadopoulos, please. Look, with all due respect, didn't you say that she would get the surgery by now?
She did. She's a 38 double D.
No. I think Bryce means south of the border. Down Mexico way.
Well, she was supposed to, but she ended up buying a Tesla dealership in Croatia. Which reminds me, the summer sales event is going on now, in case anyone was interested.
I'm happy with my Volvo.
Michelle, how about a different pose?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. The other day, she turned around and almost took a dog's eye out.
So for those of you listening on the podcast, what's going on in that clip? Well, why don't you explain what's going on in that clip?
Yeah, so first things first, I do want to clarify. We're not mocking transgenders. We're making fun of this situation where there's this gender identity in sports, and you can identify as a woman.
Right.
You can identify as a woman, even though you're largely biologically a male, and crush the woman competition. So that's what we're making fun of. Not making fun of transgenders at all. So we're mocking that. And Yeah, so that's what's going on in this. Michelle Della Famina, who I am. And we're very careful. Like I mentioned earlier, we're very meticulous about it. We made sure to get a professional cross-dressing makeup artist. I mean, I'm very attractive in that, if I must say. And do you think?
I think you're attractive.
In general.
I think you're attractive.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, very attractive.
So, what was I saying? Especially
with the wig. I mean, that's what ties it all together for me.
Yeah, yeah. And no prosthetics were used in that. So, okay.
But for the listeners, I just want to say, she's an athlete. She's standing there.
Right.
And she's got this giant schlong. And it's the elephant in the pants, elephant in the room. And the male genitalia is waving around.
Yeah,
everyone is trying to avoid, or at least try to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah, she's posing for the cover of the Sporty's box, which is like Wheaties.
Right.
And she's a women's wrestling gold medalist. She's undefeated in her weight class, 52-0. And she shows up, and they thought she would have had the surgery by now, but she didn't. So they don't know how to take a picture without getting the schlong in the photo. Yeah, in the photo. And it's a great sketch, and I recommend everyone to go watch it.
So how does the transgender...
Yeah,
how do they feel about that?
So Matt Piscini, who's a good friend of mine, is transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotta be careful.
Yeah, and Matt was in the room because we filmed Ice Pick the same day.
What is Ice Pick?
Ice Pick is another sketch called Ice Pick and the Murderers for Bernie. And
okay.
I play a murderer who killed, I don't know, 70 people after I left a shower in Equinox and found no fresh towels.
Oh, no.
I burned the whole place down.
Oh, no.
And so Ice Pick is a Bernie Sanders supporter because Bernie said he wants to give felons and terrorists like the Boston bomber the right to vote.
Right.
So he said, what would happen if one of these people had the right to vote? So that's Ice Pick. His name's Ice Pick. Another great sketch. And so Matt's in that sketch. And so he watched the transgender sketch and they thought it was great.
That's great.
If it's tastefully done, there's nothing hateful in that sketch around trans at all. In fact, I look pretty darn hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd crush, I'd do it.
You'd smash.
I'd do it.
Yeah, you have.
Get out of here.
You've been there.
Get out of here, Victor.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to, if it's okay with the audience viewing at home, the 3-4 people, I'd like to.
I can't show my middle fingers, so I'll give you these.
I actually brought a gift.
He brought a gift, and I was worried that it was going to be a prosthetic. So let's see what this Vic is.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Okay.
This is worth a lot of money in some circles.
In some circle.
All
what
right,
circles
this
are those?
Michelle Della Famina's single breast.
Oh, my goodness.
And not only is it that, can we get a close up? Is it a single Michelle Della Famina's breast, it's actually, I gave you the wrong breast.
Which one is that, the left or the right
breast?
There's
two.
You brought both of them?
Yeah, they're both. I autographed it.
Victor Dweck autographed
for you.
Michelle Della Famina.
For John. An autographed Michelle Della Famina. There's a funny.
Oh, this feels like a. Can you guys hear that?
It's actually a funny story. That's actually. You know how much the pair of tits were? You know how much?
How much?
$75.
Really? That's a good deal.
I'll tell you a quick funny story.
Where's the other one?
Oh, it's here.
I want to wear both of them.
Funny story. Don't get too comfortable. I'll tell you a funny story. Tom, my partner, called a store, a cross-dressing store, very famous one in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, I got a pair left. And he said, we're closing the store early.
How do these jugs look on me, baby?
They look good. Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me, John. I'm going, you know where I'm going after this. So the guy said, we're closing soon, but I can meet you in a Duane Reade and give them to you.
And so
Tom met this guy in a Duane Reade and gave him $75 cash and left with a pair of prosthetic tits.
Well, these are
true story.
These are luscious, and I like that they're white because that is a good look on me because I'm in blackface.
That's good.
All right, Victor Dweck, thank you for joining us. Let everybody know where they can find you and where they can go to watch your stuff.
Right now, our show Dweck, a series of sketches, as you said, is airing on the Blaze TV YouTube channel exclusively. So you can find that by going to youtube.com/BlazeTV. I believe it is. And also, you can find us on Instagram. You can type in Dweck, or you can go to Google and type in Victor Dweck. And just be careful what you click.
Yeah, you think. That's like where I tell my viewers where to go and get my stuff. Yeah. It's like, well, maybe it's there.
I had a really great time. We'll have to do some sketch comedy someday.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not like I'm a goofy guy, but like I'm not a comedian, you know? So.
But you're a good actor.
Yeah.
Because we all know you don't believe anything you say on this show.
I don't believe a single thing I say. I have no convictions. No, we're completely kidding. Yeah. And all of this was comedy. Remember to please rate and review the White House Brief podcast. Google puts lots of stuff into fan reviews, so it actually really helps me out when you guys take a quick 30 seconds to drop a 5-star rating and a comment letting me know what you love about the White House Brief. It really helps the show grow. So thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. A reminder to everyone, I'd really appreciate it if you'd please rate, review, and subscribe to the White House Brief podcast. It will make sure the truth rises above all the other stuff out there. So please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks for listening.